The coffee was sweet, black, and treacly. Sophie left it untouched, as did Aaron, who was sitting beside her in the lavish room, listening to Basir, the fat Turk opposite them on the other side of the desk, as he tried to haggle and gain the upper hand. Behind Basir's bulky frame sat his silent bodyguard, wiry, swarthy, and alert. He sat there observing everything. The bodyguard had searched them brusquely and thoroughly before the meeting began. Everything was fine now. Basir smiled at them as if they were old friends, but they had never met before. Basir was a front. The weapons were destined to end up somewhere else. Where didn't matter. But he was important because he was the one they were negotiating with. Basir was very talkative. He babbled and chattered as if the sheer quantity of words he uttered would improve his position rather than what he was actually saying. Sophie interrupted him.
"We'll send the goods through and you'll have to get them out," she said. "Everything has to go smoothly, otherwise it could all grind to a halt. And if it grinds to a halt, there's a greater risk of mistakes happening."
Basir dismissed her concern with a wave of his hand. "I know this city. I know everyone. The police, customs officers, transport officials. This is my city. Everything will be fine, trust me." The room was ostentatious, overblown. Everything was dark red. Thick carpets, long curtains, big heavy furniture, brass ornaments all over the place.
"So what do you need us for then?"
Sophie asked. His smile wavered slightly. "You've got the weapons," he said.
"And we'll supply them in small consignments over a period of 4 months. That's how we're going to do this."
"And we'll pay after each consignment," Basir said. "That's the best way, believe me," he repeated.
"I believe you, but that isn't what's going to happen," she smiled.
Basir looked offended.
"Isn't it?"
A phone rang twice in a neighboring room. She said calmly,
"You pay in one installment for everything, payable now."
He glanced quickly at his watch.
"What if it does grind to a halt? If something happens? If we lose a consignment?" he asked.
Sophie smiled.
"Are you in a hurry?" she asked.
He pretended not to understand.
"You looked at the time,"
Sophie explained.
"I do that occasionally, don't you?"
His laugh sounded false and put on, almost like a cough. He wasn't what she had been expecting, Basir. According to the people who had helped set up the deal, Basir was supposed to be a reasonable man, calm, straightforward, and uncomplicated, with a degree of honor in his approach to business, the nature of his business notwithstanding. But this man was quite different from that.
"Yes, when I'm in a hurry," she said.
"Well, I'm not in a hurry," he laughed again.
Everything felt very peculiar. Sophie glanced at Aaron to see if he was feeling the same as she was. He was busy studying Basir.
"What was your question?"
she asked the Turk.
"Yes, what was my question?"
he muttered, slightly bewildered, as he cast a glance at his bodyguard, who replied quietly in Turkish without taking his eyes off Aaron.
"If we lose a consignment," Basir said.
"You won't," Sophie said. "You just said so because you know everyone. You know what goes on in this city. It's yours."
"True,"
he laughed again. He was getting more nervous. Sophie considered the situation. She had a feeling that he saw these negotiations as something to be endured and that he wanted to get away, that his reasons for sitting there were quite different from hers, that this wasn't about doing business at all, because if it were, this wasn't the way it was done.
"So, what do you say, Basir?"
she asked. He pretended to think. Beads of sweat had broken out on his forehead. He was off balance.
"Let's do as you say, then," he said. "We pay you now. You arrange to send us the weapons, as you suggested. That's probably best."
"Just like that?"
She could feel Aaron's electrified reaction beside her. He felt the same as she did.
The bodyguard adjusted his position on the chair. Aaron noticed. Thank you, Basir, she said.
Stay and have coffee with us, he said.
The mistakes were coming thick and fast now. You didn't drink coffee after a deal, not with a man like this. You drank it before, and they had already done that. Stillborn chat that didn't go anywhere.